Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like everyone to know how much they appreciate our community during this very difficult time. They know this isn't easy for everyone, and that's why Schnucks is working around the clock to make sure they handle the needs of our community. Schnucks wants to say thank you for your support, your patience, and your never quit attitude, as we will all get through this together. Schnucks appreciates our community, and they want all of their shoppers to know how much they mean to them. It's a Wednesday. That means we have the chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Brian's still putting out content, even though there's no games going on. Brian has stuff going on 365 days a year at thecardinalnation.com. And there's always news to talk about, Brian, every single week. It doesn't stop, does it?
No, and you know, I thought that we'd be, you know, discussing several topics, and then all of a sudden Monday was kind of quiet, and then Tuesday all kinds of news broke. So, you know, you're probably going to have to cut me off before because there's so much to discuss.
One of the interesting ones is the debate between the players and the owners of playing in front of, let's say, an empty stadium. Some thought, well, no, hold on. I thought our agreement included fans. Others say, no, it didn't include fans. What do you think about this as we go forward with the ideas that have been presented to baseball with empty stadiums?
It's pretty hard for me to imagine that as smart and as articulate as these parties are, that they didn't lock down in writing what they meant when they put the first salary agreement in place. And what we're talking about is the, you know, $170 million advance to players for the months of April and May. And by the way, that while that sounds like a lot of money, $5,000 a day per major league player, that's $170 million is compared to $4 billion of what the normal major league salary would be for those 2 months. But there's a disagreement because the players said, hey, you know, this agreement that we had in place that we would get a prorated amount of our regular season pay for whatever number of games we can play, you know, assumed that there's a possibility that these games will be played in empty stadiums. And the owners are saying, no, our assumption was at that point in time, we were assuming we'd come back to our cities and have full revenue. So, you know, there's this debate, even if all the medical issues and the logistical issues could be worked out, the players and the owners aren't in agreement on what rate the players are going to get paid when they come back. So, you know, they've got to go through now another round of negotiations, and the two sides are, you know, at least in their public words, you know, digging in.
What do you think the appetite is for players to play in front of empty stadiums?
Well, from, you know, what we're trickling out, they're not excited about it. You know, they, you know, let's face it, they get motivated by playing in front of fans and the sounds and the smells and the excitement and all. And, but on the other hand, if the option is not playing at all, you know, if everything else can be worked out, I'm sure the players would rather do that. And we're seeing that, you know, for example, in Korea, they're, you know, getting ready to start up, and, you know, they've made it interesting by putting mannequins in the stadium, that type of thing. But, you know,
boy.
Everybody wants to go back to real normal, but I think everybody realizes real normal is not going to be possible for a while.
So you just hit the nail on the head. This is maybe the best option that we have right now. I find it fascinating when you've got guys that have made generational type money and saying, well, I'm here and I may have to be quarantined, and does it include my family? Does it not? And maybe the appetite for a younger player that wants his bite at the apple is, I'm willing to do it because I want to make the most money I can. I find that to be a really interesting dynamic going forward with this.
It really is. And we've seen, you know, some of the major names in the game, Mike Trout, Kershaw, Adam Wainwright, even, you know, talking about this trade-off of, you know, maybe not wanting to make that commitment to leave one's family for multiple months and, you know, play in this quarantined environment. But does that mean that the game will stop without them if a majority of the union members vote to go play? You know, it might be that baseball comes back and some of the names that, you know, we were expecting and hoping to see were missing. But folks want to see baseball, and, you know, baseball will likely go on whether all the names are there or not.
We want to see the best players. Everybody wants to see the best players. But we also understand we are craving sports. We're craving baseball. We have found that out in Americana. We miss sports in a major way. It means so much to our economy. It means so much to maybe our relaxation at night, whatever the case may be. I do find it interesting that if some of the big players, or maybe some guys that are at the end of their career, just say, you know what, enough's enough. I've had a great run. I'm done. Others could say, I'm done till 2021. Maybe that's on the table too. I don't know.
And, you know, I don't think anybody is going to disrespect or put pressure on someone to do something that they don't feel comfortable doing. So, you know, initially I was a little worried that the peer pressure thing might, you know, cause guys to you know, come in maybe when they weren't 100% committed to do it. But when you see some of the major guys potentially make those kind of statements, it makes it more comfortable for people to make the right decisions for them personally. And that's the way it ought to be.
In terms of payment in Major League Baseball through the month of May, what are you hearing?
Well, there was an agreement to pay the non-playing members of the full-time staffs through the end of May. And each team was doing it individually, but pretty much now everybody's come along with it. Major League Baseball made an announcement as well that their executives were going to take a 35% pay cut, and they would pay all their full and part-time employees through the end of May. So the end of May is kind of this major deadline for everybody, all the employers, all the players. But one of the things that happened also the other day that maybe folks didn't notice was that Major League Baseball suspended their uniform employee contracts effective May 1. What that means is that all Major League Baseball and their teams now could, effective May 1, so not quite yet, but soon, could lay off or reduce the salaries of any of their full-time employees. And that includes major and minor league managers, coaches, trainers, the full-time scouts. So nobody's done it yet, but sort of the door is now open that come 1st of June, if there's not a clear way to get back, we could start seeing both layoffs and salary reductions across baseball, which they pretty much, you know, avoided to this point.
I know you dive into the draft. I'm very curious how teams are handling the draft with video, with their previous reports. Obviously, kids at this level make great adjustments. They get better. Some tail off. Some don't have as good a year, or whatever the case may be. I would think that those guys got to be, you know, guns a-blazing to get going. And in essence, it's a key time for that part of the business of baseball. Would you agree?
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing about the draft, a lot of folks think that there's major changes that occur in the spring season, the year of the draft. And the reality is, I'm sure if Randy Flores was here on a call with us, he'd tell us, you know, hey, they've already scouted 1,000 players, and they pretty much know who they want. Now, would they make adjustments had the college and the high schools played the spring? Sure, they would have. But the original decisions that came down, you know, prohibited contact between scouts and players, and they've relaxed that such that it seems to me, and especially if the draft is limited to 5 or 10 rounds, that, you know, teams are pretty well equipped to hold a draft whenever they decide. Now, you know, they could wait until July, in fact, to hold the draft. And, you know, if there's no minor league season, which, it's feeling more and more like all the time, there's certainly no hurry to hold the draft because there's not going to be anywhere for the guys to go play anyway.
We've heard a lot about the Arizona plan and the biosphere, if you will, for all teams in Arizona. Then we've heard a little bit about, well, maybe you're going to be in Arizona and Florida. And now we're hearing, in addition to that, maybe even Texas. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the limitations of the Arizona plan was that you've got to bring so many people in one place. Do you have enough facilities to play the games? Do you have, you know, and by the way, all those games are going to be playing at 10 p.m. Eastern time, 9 p.m. Central time, because it's so dang hot in Florida, in Arizona, other than, you know, the one dome stadium. So then the Arizona and Florida idea came up and said, well, you know, you could put these teams in spring training in all their own facilities. The problem with that is, in order to schedule the play, the leagues have to be the divisions have to be restructured around where their spring training camps are. And that keeps you from resuming the regular season because the division the Cardinals are in would be against the Mets and the Marlins and the, you know, Houston Astros, and that would not work from a travel perspective. So now there's a third idea that popped up Monday night from RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, that said, hey, you know, there's another proposal to put a third of the teams in Texas. So now you got the West Coast time, you got Central time, you got Eastern time. And in that format, you could take the two Central divisions, the American League Central Division, the National League Central Division, and put them in Texas. You have the Eastern divisions in Florida and the Western divisions in Arizona. So, you know, from a organization, division, competition, broadcast perspective, there's a lot of reasons why that works. The question, and plus, you know, they got a couple of domes in Texas as well, which helps with the scheduling. But, you know, it also is an environment where you've got to then, you know, go into new areas where you've got to have all the testing and the quarantining and the necessary security and safety to play these games. So, you know, there's no magic plan that's going to work, but it's another interesting idea that's popped up.
I want to go back to something that we were talking about earlier, and that was the idea of whether you're playing in front of fans or not. And by all accounts, correct me if I'm wrong, for Major League Baseball owners, about 35 to 40% of revenue is from folks in the seats. So if that's gone, that's a huge chunk of change that's out of their pocket, which then means you have to renegotiate the deal with the players. What do you think the players will do, the majority of the players, in terms of they say, we understand, you know, we came to this agreement originally, but now we got to redo it because, as we talked about, no fans in the stands. You know, everybody's taking a haircut in this country. Unemployment is skyrocketing. But this is the best plan we got. What do you think the players would do with that?
Well, it's going to require a change in position because Tony Clark, who's the head of the Players Association, on Monday made a very clear statement that said, we are not willing to discuss a further reduction in play. And that negotiation is over, is his direct quote. So,
but is it really, in your opinion? I mean, do you really think it is? I mean, the times are changing by the hour.
I think they're going to have to back down, but they're not going to do it without getting some other concession as well.
Sure.
And what that concession is, I don't know. Is it a higher rate of pay? Is it another service time thing? Is it something on the next contract? I don't know. You know, we see in all these negotiations, not just in baseball, but all sports, you know, there's a certain amount of negotiation that's done through the media. And so you have to kind of sort through the rhetoric and say, you know, what's going to happen. I think to answer your question, Dan, when all's said and done, everybody wants to play. And so if they get close enough that they can solve everything else, they're going to figure out the pay issue for the players in a way that's fair. They're going to do it. Now, as you said before, as you brought up before, maybe that won't cover all the players. And guess what? That might actually help bringing everybody back, because let's just take the crazy example that all the high played players, like the Kershaws and the Trouts, are the ones that sit out. Then the owners have to pay a lot less money because the lower salaried guys are the ones that are going to be most anxious to come in and take the risk and play. Maybe they don't have the families. You know, maybe they don't have some of the personal issues. So, you know, it could actually work out if some of the higher priced players want to stay home, that's a more palatable solution for ownership.
You run the CardinalNation.com. So you dive into, in particular, I mean, you cover everything with the major leagues too, but especially minor league baseball. And this is a really key 24, 48 hours for the negotiations between the minor leagues and the major leagues. Can you tell us what they're trying to get through in the next day or two?
Well, as I think we discussed this last time too, and we knew there was a meeting coming up here today, actually, you know, Wednesday the 22nd, between Major League Baseball and minor league baseball. And all those negotiations had kind of got put on the back burner for obvious reasons. But now they're coming back around because the agreement between Major League Baseball and minor league baseball ends at the end of September. And there's this proposal that everybody knows about that's on the table that Major League Baseball wants to, you know, reduce by 40 teams, basically get rid of the two short season levels that are played not in in complexes. And the word that came out on Tuesday, at least from Baseball America, was that minor league baseball is willing to agree to that plan to go from basically 160 teams down to 120 teams. And that's a huge, huge deal. But to their side, minor league baseball immediately came out via social media and said, most of that report is inaccurate. You know, we're not there yet, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is minor league baseball's position has weakened tremendously because of what's gone on around us. They don't have big TV contracts. Their revenue for these minor league teams is based on people coming to games, the ticket price as well as the concessions they buy, and they're not going to get that revenue this year. So, you know, they're motivated to try to lock down with Major League Baseball, you know, what their future is going to be. And guess what? If I'm minor league baseball coming to the table, maybe if I give on those 40 teams, I'm going to say, okay, MLB, you got to bail me out. You got to give me financial assurance that you're going to help our, you know, prop up our teams and make sure that we don't go out of business.
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think minor league baseball is? Let's just say at some point we get baseball back this year. And I know this is a big what if, and this was in the works prior to the virus, but what do you think happens with minor league baseball?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a minor league baseball season this year. I mean, I just don't, the logistics of bringing back that many people in that many cities, it just doesn't seem logical. And as we talked about last time, a more reasonable solution is that major league teams would be given larger rosters that could cover, you know, any injuries or any needs that they might have over the shortened season. I think we're definitely going to see a different minor league in 2021. These four full season levels, you know, they'll still exist, and every major league team will have AAA, AA, High A, and Class A teams, and so that's how you get to 120. Four teams times 30 organizations. But the next level down, which is the Cardinal system, State College and Johnson City, they go away. So then what you have are the teams that are at the complexes. So here I'm talking about the Gulf Coast League for the Cardinals and the Arizona League for the teams that train in Arizona. And there's no reason organizations couldn't bump up the number of teams they have. Today, organizations don't have the same number of minor league affiliates. So, you know, that there's a way that minor league baseball could change. Teams could invest further if they want to in more teams that are under their control in their own facilities. But it looks like, you know, a number of these smaller cities are not going to have affiliated teams. Now, what they want to do is come up with some type of a plan that gives these towns that would lose their affiliated teams some type of long-term solution. The first proposal that came out was this Dream League, and that, you know, just didn't look feasible because it pushed too much expense, all the player expense, coaches expense or whatever, to the local owners. And so, you know, it remains to be seen whether they can come up with a solution that's going to work to help those towns and those fans are going to lose their teams.
TheCardinalNation.com. You never stop. So what are some of the things you're working on right now?
Well, I have extended stories about a couple of these topics we talked about. I broke down the Texas plan in significant detail yesterday, and today I've got a whole story up about this minor league proposal and what the minor leagues might look like in the future, so folks can come and read about that. I've also got an article that's what I call the Cardinals COVID-19 timeline, and in it I went back to the beginning of March and just in a very brief manner highlighted the key activities that have gone on. It's amazing to look at, you know, day by day during this period, along with links to the articles where if you want to go back and refresh you know, your memory on a particular event, you can. So it's interesting. And in the background, I'm still, you know, working on the minor league series. Ironically, I'm right now between the two levels where State College are. Those articles are up, and the Johnson City, the rookie advanced level, are the next articles to come up in our in-depth history series on the Cardinals minor leagues.
I'd be fascinated to know what has stood out for you in that timeline since the coronavirus hit to now. What's really stood out that maybe we forget because we're all caught up in what's happening in our lives, but yet baseball has taken a back seat. What can you get us refreshed on that really caught your attention?
Well, the first thing was, you know, the early March, you know, lack of understanding on all of us on the significance of what was going on. And while you saw certain hot spots like Washington and whatever, you know, start to make pronouncements about people not being able to assemble, then the initial talks of, you know, hey, can we play somewhere else started even then. And then, of course, we got, you know, we hit the issue of, you know, we got to suspend spring training, but there was even hopes then, hey, you know, we could maybe start by April sometime. And then, you know, pretty soon that became obvious that that wasn't possible. So it's just kind of this, you know, iterative as we learned more and understood the seriousness of the virus, how that modified our thinking. And now, you know, it's coming back around to, hey, you know, it's going to be different, but we think we can get play underway somehow, some way. And we're hearing that from people like Manfred, as well as people like John Mozeliak and Mike Schilt. So, you know, that's a good thing overall. We're just going to have to be flexible and understand that what we see and when we see may not be everything we want, but it's sure a heck of a lot better than nothing.
You got that right. Hey, Brian, thanks so much. I advise everybody to go to thecardinalnation.com, thecardinalnation.com for great Cardinal Insight. Brian is with us every Wednesday. Thanks, Brian.
Who knows what we'll talk about next week, but we'll talk to you then.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over seven decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today. Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.